Father, thanks so much for this morning. Thanks for every man that is here. Father, thank you that we are together as brothers in Christ, even the guys on Zoom this morning who are Zooming in. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we can come to these tables and we can prepare lessons and we can speak, but apart from you and apart from your Spirit speaking through us and to us, those words won't penetrate our hearts. And Father, I pray that our hearts would be enlivened and encouraged and challenged, and that we would hear and follow and be blessed for your glory and our good. And especially that those in our families and our friends and our neighborhoods and our workplaces would come to know Christ as Lord as a result of our witness. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Everybody hear me okay? Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Well, those of you who don't know me, I'm Alan Greensmith, and it's great to be with you this morning. And was anybody here when I told the story of the man in the bathrobe? Remember that story? So, to be continued, right? So, for those of you who weren't here, had a Zoom call with a potential client. Camera goes on, guy's in it's in a bathrobe, right? And we were kind of stunned by that, but we carried forward and had a nice call. And my partner and I, we never discussed it again. We discussed the opportunity. We didn't discuss the way the gentleman was dressed. So if you remember the story, we had come together with that gentleman because somebody else said, you know, you guys should connect. You guys would hit it off really well. You could probably do business together. And he's a little weird. So I went back to my buddy and I said, you know, he's a little weird. And he said, let me guess. He showed up for the call in a bathrobe with a cigar in his mouth. And I said, that's unbelievable. Yeah, exactly. He said, yeah, we had the same experience a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and we've had a great relationship ever since. So, end of story, or it's not the end of the story, it's really the beginning of the story. So about 2 weeks ago, on a Monday morning, 9 a.m., a guy gives me a call, gentleman in the bathrobe, and he says, we really like you guys. We're going to move all our business to you. So the moral of the story is, don't judge a man by his robe, right? Because you just never know. So you just never know. So I feel blessed this morning to share with you from 2 Corinthians. And you'll note as we go through some of the scripture that it'll be some of the most famous, some of the more famous words that Paul ever shared with people. And so a real blessing for us to go through this morning. But what I'd like to do is, you know, start with a prayer. Okay. So Lord, we give you all honor and glory this morning for your love, your blessing, your saving grace, and your continued pursuit of our hearts and our good. We lift up your word this morning and the word from your servant Paul. Thank you for his example of how to be about your work, no matter what the difficulties and challenges. Help us bring the sweet aroma of Christ to those around us, and have us be your messengers, and put us about your work to a lost world. In the name of Jesus, amen. What does the word amen mean? So be it, or let it be so. I didn't know that until 2 weeks ago, but I'm in BSF, and Marty and I are in BSF together, and that was in 2 weeks ago in the lesson, and I was like, so now. We were praying at home the other day for Thanksgiving, and at the end of the prayer, instead of saying amen, I said, and let it be so. And people were like, what? But it allowed me to tell the story. So a reminder of where we are in the story. You know, it's always good to kind of refresh where we are as we jump into the new verses. Paul, through God's mercy, has a ministry to the Corinthians. And others And God has provided him the strength and the drive to persevere against hardship and persecution. And we get to see Paul in action in these letters, right? He is such an example for us. He is our model of how to be obedient to Jesus in ministry and to persevere no matter what we face. And if you think about the last passage, Paul is again confronting the false teachers and the false teaching that is among those in the Corinthian church. And Paul reminds the Corinthians that he has never deceived them and has never distorted the word of God, but rather has set forth the truth in the sight of God and man. And though Satan has blinded some to the light of Christ, to the gospel, and that Jesus is God, Paul is preaching Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, and Paul is acting as a servant to the Corinthian church for the sake of Jesus. He is working for Jesus, not for his own glorification. So let us pick up now at 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory far that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The word of the Lord. So Paul is giving us four things to focus on in the set of verses. And the first one is, we may be frail and vulnerable, but the message of Jesus as Lord and Savior is not. Number two, if we believe, we need to speak, because sharing the gospel and our story within the gospel is how others hear the good news. Number three, do not lose heart. Troubles are temporary, and do not compare with eternity with Christ. And then number four, let's fix our eyes on what is unseen, which is eternal fellowship and the worship of Christ. So point number one, we may be frail and vulnerable, but God will provide us with the strength and the words to deliver his message. Paul talks of jars of clay. And you think about jars of clay, they're fragile, right? Just like us. And they were utilized then to hold food and treasure and waste. And Paul describes being pressed and crushed, but not defeated. You know, when you read this verse, you can feel like the world is closing in on Paul, right? But yet he is not defeated. And as the carriers of the message, Paul was weak and we are weak. But in spite of all that, we still have a job to do. And God will show up and make the most of us flawed vessels. He'll give us strength, and he'll give us the words to do his work. I wonder if you guys have heard this story from Billy Graham. Towards the end of his life, he spoke about he had trouble walking. He felt weak. He was hard of hearing. And he really wondered, as he would go to do these events, could he even get to the pulpit to speak? Have any of you heard this story? So thanks be to God, every time he would get up there and put his hands on the lectern, he felt the power of God come through him. And immediately the Lord's words would come through his mouth, and he felt, you know, the strength of the Lord, which would carry him through these sermons. And that's exactly what God does. He just calls us to get up there and put our hands on that lectern, and he'll do the rest of the work, right? If we're focused on him. And if you who went to the Billy Graham Crusade in 1994 here? Anybody? Was your life changed? I talk to people all the time. This is 30 years ago, right? I talk to people all the time in Atlanta who went to the Crusade in 94 and say their lives and their families were changed. So that's the power of Billy Graham being obedient, even when he could barely get to the lectern, right? And it's the power of Christ. And we have access to that exact same power. And so while we may not be Billy Graham, right? The message is no less important and no less worthy of being heard. And if you think about it, I mean, we've got the example of Billy Graham in our own lives, but we also have the example of Moses as God called him to bring God's people out of Egypt. And if you remember from Exodus 4, 11 through 15, Moses says to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You will speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do." Thank you, Lord. You know, we are weak, but he is strong, and he will show up. So let me go to my second point. If we believe, we need to speak. It is the gospel of Christ and our personal story within the gospel of Christ that God will use. And as I talked about a couple weeks ago, he places us in a position every day to share his very word with the people around us. And we know those people around us. We're just not as courageous often as we should be. Now, Paul says in this scripture, "We believe and therefore we proclaim. We know that the very power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise us up to the glory of God. We cannot be silent." And Alan and I were talking this morning about, I'm a member of Rotary up in Roswell, and he was asking me about Rotary. And it's been a great way to meet people within Roswell. But also, I have seen some amazing talks there. And most recently, there was a gentleman who was invited to speak, and he was there to talk about his 30-year experience and involvement with Ukraine. He was an accountant, and he had a large company and small company experience, and so he was tapped to go to Ukraine after the dissolving of the Soviet Union to teach capitalism. And so while he spent his days teaching sales and marketing and accounting, he was also quite open about his Christianity. And if you think about the Soviet Union, you know, it was a desperate place in terms of the the Word of God, right, for many, many years. So he was quite open about his Christianity, and he conveyed that to them. And what he conveyed to them is that while capitalism will improve your standard of living, Jesus will change where you spend eternity. And as a result, many came to believe. And this gentleman has been invited back every year now for 30 years. Even right through the war, he's going back every year. So it's really something. But what was fascinating to me is how the audience in Atlanta or up in Roswell responded to his presentation. And after he finished, and he was very clear about he shared the gospel from the front of the room there. And so after he finished the talk, I was struck by how many people went up and spoke to him, and also people who said, could I meet with you? Could I speak to you? So the Lord blessed and honored the faithfulness of this man. And so I love seeing these contemporary examples right in front of us where people share the gospel and the Lord honors it. Now, it doesn't mean you won't get pushback, but we're men. We're up for a challenge, right? That's right. So I want to give you another example of someone not being quiet. And it's Peter at Pentecost, where he perhaps gives the greatest come to Jesus speech that's in the Bible. It's Acts 2:14. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. King David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what has come, what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Right? Amen. God put these words in Peter's mouth. You know, Peter went from, think about Peter just a short time before. He couldn't even tell the truth to a young woman as to who he was, right? And here he is standing up courageously, not far thereafter, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ because Jesus put those words in his mouth. So this is the point, guys, right? We're saved. We're saved by the love and grace of Jesus Christ, but we are called to share this gospel. But Jesus will put those words in our mouth. We just need to have faith, and he'll give us the strength to stand up and do it. And if you think about, you know, as Paul went through this letter, I get to my third point here that Paul really aims us towards, and that is that we should not lose heart. You know, all of us have had difficult times where we have been knocked down, right? Where we really face some difficulties. But the troubles are temporary. Jesus is eternal. And Paul, in these verses, speaks of light and momentary troubles that are achieving for us an eternal glory. And right now, if you look around, is there any trouble out there? Satan seems to be having his way. People are confused. They're confused about a lot of things. If possible, I think people are a lot more confused today than they were when I was growing up. It's like confusion is expanding, right? It is encompassing and grabbing so many other areas of the world. And if you think about ourselves, right? We like to be especially men, we like to be problem solvers, but I'm here to tell you, I think we're particularly inept at solving a lot of our own issues, right? Apart from Christ, we can do nothing, especially over the long haul. So only Christ can provide real stability and real answers, and God is sovereign. He is on the throne, so let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's be about his work so that we will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And we'll get a chance to see how our obedience will have played a small part in God's master plan. And while troubles dog us, we're on a mission to share the gospel, which has eternal consequences, both positive or negative, for those that hear, for those that we share the gospel with. But I want to remind all of us that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, right? Is that not one of the most powerful verses in the Bible? And in Romans 8:31 through 34, Paul reminds us, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one." In Matthew 28:20, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In Matthew 11:28, and this is absolutely my own personal favorite verse, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." What a promise, right? And then finally, my last point that Paul shares with us, we fix our eyes on what is unseen, which is eternal fellowship and worship of Christ. Paul reminds us to fix our eyes on the unseen, the eternal, eternity with Christ. That's what we're after. Forever worshiping our Savior. And we want to introduce others to what we know is true, that Jesus saves, that he gives life eternal. We live in a culture where people are increasingly controlled by their feelings. You hear people say things like, "Oh, it feels like," or "I think," or "I feel." But men, we have faith. We believe. And Romans 8:28 reminds us, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Here in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18, Paul reminds us that although we are fragile, weak vessels, the message of Jesus is all-powerful. It gives life everlasting. But we have a role to play in God's plan. We're called to speak out because we believe and know that the very power that raised Jesus will raise us. And though we will face difficulties here on earth, it's temporary versus eternity with Christ. But if we focus on the unseen, eternal life with Christ, we absolutely can handle anything that the world throws at us. So let me stop there and thank you for your time. And TJ has put together some nice questions for you. All right. Thanks, guys.